I'd encourage you to open your Bibles this morning, if you will, to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll be reading a few verses there, beginning verse 17. Excuse me, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. We'll be reading through verse 14. In him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. In these verses, the Apostle Paul, of course, is addressing the Christians at Ephesus and talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that it is in him that we have every spiritual blessing from God the Father. And he talks about the unity that we ought to have as Christians in the body of Christ. He talks about the importance of the body which Christ purchased with his blood. And in these verses, the Apostle Paul, along with many other New Testament writers throughout the New Testament, places great emphasis on the value of the gospel. And so, the value of the gospel, the importance of obeying it ourselves, and the importance of teaching it to others is also emphasized throughout the New Testament. The Lord's willing, next Sunday morning, our gospel meeting begins. It goes Sunday morning and then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evening with Brother Bill Hall preaching. He will come with good lessons prepared for us to edify us, to warn us, to rebuke us, to encourage us, to build us up in the faith. He will come with lessons that will be teachable to all people, whoever may be here. He will, in those lessons, at some point or another, give the plan of salvation, what one must do to be saved. He will, at some point in those lessons, talk about what an erring Christian must do to make things right in their life, to be a faithful child of God. And so we look forward to that gospel meeting. The gospel is important. The words of the gospel are important. And Brother Bill will be here to present that truth in spirit of love, in the spirit of love, in the spirit of kindness, in the spirit of a desire that all men could come to repentance. And so that should be our desire at Beulah, individually and as a congregation, that we would have people that would come and hear the gospel, that we could teach other people in their homes or in the community or in this building, that they might know the power of the gospel. And so Paul places emphasis on the power of the gospel. Let's look back at verse 11 again in Ephesians chapter 1. He says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So it's God's will that all men would be saved. It's God's will that his son came. It's the son's will that he came and died for us. And then verse 12, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. And then verse 13 again, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So we see this morning in these verses the importance of the gospel, the importance of believing in ourselves so that we can be sealed with the inheritance of promise, that we can know that we've been forgiven of our sins. And the importance then is placed on our shoulders to spread the gospel. So by virtue of the fact we're having a gospel meeting that begins next Sunday morning, we should encourage others to come and hear the gospel preached. Sunday morning, Monday through Wednesday, the opportunity is there. Let's invite our family and friends and those in the community, those that we know of, and see if they'll come. Just a simple invitation, a word of mouth. We're having a meeting at Beulah. The gospel will be preached. The word of God will be taught. We'll be glad to have you come and be a part of that, to listen to the teaching of the word of God. And so the gospel is important. So let's take a few minutes this morning and talk about how important the gospel is to us today and every day. And we don't want to put more emphasis on a gospel meeting than we do sermons that are preached on Sunday or Bible classes that are taught on Wednesday night or throughout the week, because it's all the gospel. But it will give an opportunity next week for someone to come that may not have an opportunity to come on the first day of the week to hear the word of God. So the gospel is important, and we keep it at the forefront. The good news of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, who shed his blood for our sins. So we see that the gospel is the good news. It is the good news that we have, that God provided a way for us that we can be saved. It is the good news that we know that God sent his only begotten Son to be born of a woman and to live on this life to set a perfect example. That's good news. That we might have an example that we can follow, that we can follow his steps. And the good news that he came and shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. The good news that he was willing to do that. And the good news that he rose from the dead the third day, and we have the hope and assurance of a resurrection also. So the gospel is indeed good news, and it's to be spread to all people. The good news of Jesus Christ then is what the gospel is referred to, because it's all about Jesus Christ. He is the central theme of the Bible. Salvation through Jesus Christ is the center of the Bible from the beginning to the end. It points to it, and it points back. And so we see the importance of the gospel because it is the good news of Jesus Christ. Mark 1:1. Mark talked about the good news of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 2:12 and 9:13 and 10:14. There the Apostle Paul talked about the good news of the truth of God. The good news of the truth of Jesus Christ. So next week is a good opportunity for someone to hear the gospel that perhaps has never heard it before, or someone to hear it that perhaps may haven't heard the word of God taught in a long time. So the gospel is the good news. It's the good news of Jesus Christ, and it's the good news for all people. That's something that members of the church need to keep in our mind, is that it's not just for the group that comes together on Sunday morning and Wednesday evening. It's not for the group of people that we are associated with as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's for everyone. And when visitors come, we should be welcoming to them. We should invite them in and encourage them and invite them to come back and give them a feeling of that they are welcome to come here and hear the word of God. But could it be that sometimes as a Christian, maybe I don't speak to a visitor as I should, or maybe we just look and see who it is and, well, we really don't have no interest in that person. Well, it doesn't matter if that person is dressed up and looks like they're maybe have some wealth. Or maybe if they don't look that way, yeah, maybe their clothes are not that good, or maybe they look like they're struggling. It doesn't matter anywhere in between that. The gospel is for all. And I would question myself, and you question yourself, have we forgotten that the gospel is for everyone? How do we treat other people when they do come in the door? How do we treat other people around us? The gospel is for everyone. It's for all people. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So the gospel then is the good news of salvation. We all look for good news, don't we? We got some good news this week on some people who had some medical tests. They came out okay. We got some good news this week on some who had surgery. Supposedly the surgery went good and they seem to be recovering okay. That's good news. But the good news of salvation is the best news anyone can have, that a person can receive forgiveness of their sins. The greatest disease that anyone can ever have spiritually is sin in their life. So the good news, the greatest news we can ever share with anyone, is how to be healed of their sins. And so the meeting is important. It's not a social gathering. It's not a feel-good thing, but we ought to feel good about being here, and we ought to be happy about being here, and we ought to show that we're happy about being here. But it's not about the attitude of just, we did it, we checked that off our list, we had a gospel meeting. It's the good news of salvation, because in the gospel and through the gospel, obedience to it, we get to know about Jesus and the blood he shed and how salvation. The gospel then is the good news of the promise in Jesus Christ, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6. We just read there in Ephesians chapter 1, but in chapter 3 and verse 6 he says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ. How? Through the gospel. Anyone, the Jew, Gentile, it doesn't matter if we're American, Asian, whatever we are. The color of our skin doesn't matter. The status in life as far as upper class, middle class, lower class, as people are classed sometimes, it doesn't matter. What matters is that the good news is the promise of Christ for everyone. For everyone. To the Jew first and also the Greek. The gospel is the good news of peace. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15. We hear so much about wars and rumors of wars. We see there's wars going on in our lifetime. There's some going on now. Well, we see that there are people who have dissension in their life, in their families, between husbands and wives, between parents and children, between relatives, in the workplace. There's uproars. There's anger. There's division. But now, the good news of Christ is that we can have peace with God through Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. God allowed Jesus to come. Jesus willingly came and died and shed his blood that we, through Christ, might have peace with God. What is it that causes us not to have peace with God? Sin. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in that regard, verse 23 of chapter 6 of Romans tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So the good news of the gospel is about eternal life, having peace with God, being part of the body, being reconciled to God, having peace and knowing that our sins are forgiven. What a blessing it is that the gospel is so much and covers every aspect that needs to be covered wherein we can receive salvation. It's the good news of hope. Good news of hope. You know, we hope in so many things in life. We hope that someone that's sick will get better. We hope that someone that has a disease can overcome it. We hope that people that are suffering can have better days. We hope for better things in this life. But if it's in this life only we have hope, we're all most people the most miserable. We are. We're of all people most miserable. But in Christ is the good news of hope. Colossians chapter 1. Look over there. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Think about that. What do we hope for? Hope for a good job. We hope for health. We hope for our family's safety. We hope for others to become Christians. We hope for good things. But the gospel is the good news of hope that we have in Christ. That in Christ we can have salvation. And when we remain Christ in him and be faithful, we have the hope of a heaven. That's good news. Well, the gospel is described then as the word of the gospel. The good news about Christ is the word of the gospel. What is the gospel of Christ about? About Jesus Christ. The word that comes to us through the word of God about him who was sent from the Father, the Son, came and shed his blood for us. The word of the gospel. The gospel is described as that. And so we need to look to that word. That word needs to be shared. Next week is a gospel meeting. How much good could we do? I mentioned this 2 or 3 weeks ago. If each one of us, if there's 40 people here and we invite one person each, that's 40 people. If only one person is baptized, if only one person is restored, What a blessing that would be. The word of the gospel can do that. It can bring people back. It can bring people to Christ. And the word of the gospel can do other things. It can help Christians to grow closer. It can help us to have unity. It can help us to be of the same mind. It can help the church to be stronger as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we work together for good at Beulah, to maybe examine our own congregation and see if we're in that, maybe we need to improve. And I have a lesson I'll probably preach the week after the meeting about that, about congregations in the New Testament and their different reputations they had, and what kind of reputation does Beulah have? And let's look at our own self, not just what we have on the outside, but what are we doing from within? What kind of example are we setting to one another? How is our worship? Now, if the preaching is not what it ought to be, then get another preacher. I want the preaching to be what it ought to be. If you need a younger preacher, get a younger preacher. If you need two preachers, get two preachers. If the prayers need to be worked on so that we pray to God in the name of Christ and address the things that ought to be addressed in the right manner, let's work on that as a congregation. If the Lord's Supper is remembrance of His death, burial, and resurrection, are we, as a congregation, setting our minds on that, on the Lord's Supper, on the bread and the fruit, are the things we need to work on? The word of the gospel can help us as a congregation to work on the things that need to be improved. You know, sometimes people don't ever talk about the things that's going good, but then when things are not right, if the sermon's not right, somebody's going to talk about it. And so, we need to look at that. The word of the gospel can help us as individuals and as a congregation. The word of the gospel is described then as the word of the truth of the gospel. Let's go back again to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. We need the truth. Others need the truth. What a great thing it would be for us to invite others, and if they would come, then to have an opportunity to hear the word of the truth of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is truth. And the truth that's found in the gospel cannot be found anywhere else in the world. Not in man's books, not in man's ideas, not in the commandments of men, not in the religions of men. People need to hear the gospel, the word of the truth. Another reason to invite people to the gospel meeting. The gospel is described as the faith of the gospel of Christ. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Again, Philippians 1 and verse 27, he says here, for indeed he was sick almost, I'm in the wrong chapter. Philippians 1 and verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that I, whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, and that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. The gospel produces faith in God. The gospel produces faith through Christ to the Father. The gospel produces faith in the word that teaches us about the gospel. The faith of the gospel. The gospel is all these things. Are we sharing it with others? Are we giving others an opportunity to come? We can't make others come. We shouldn't try to force others. Just a simple invitation. Just a word of encouragement. And then it's on them whether they come or not. It's on them whether or not they receive it. But if we don't ask, if we don't try, it's on me if I didn't make an effort to invite someone, and see if I can get them to hear the gospel. Well, the gospel is described as the gospel of the grace of God, Acts 20 and verse 7. The grace of God. We talk about the grace of God, the mercy of God. We talked about that quite a bit in our studies on Wednesday evening in Romans. The grace of God. Grace. We can't earn our way to heaven. We can't do enough to prove that we're good enough to go to heaven. As a human being, we're not capable of that. But because of God's grace through Christ in bestowing His Son, who gave His life and shed His blood for us, because we are sinners, by that grace, ye are saved through Christ, when we by faith obey. People need to hear the gospel of the grace of God. Grace is a wonderful thing. Well, the gospel is described as the gospel of the kingdom. Go back to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23 and Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. The kingdom was at hand. Jesus came, he was born, and John came preaching in the wilderness, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Prepare your hearts. He's preparing the way. He's preparing your hearts, Israel, for the coming of the Messiah. The gospel of the kingdom that's coming. Get ready for it. Are we ready to receive the good news that John talked about? Most of us have already received that good news in obedience and baptism, but are we continuing as Christians to receive that good news that's in the gospel? The gospel of the kingdom of God. There's only one kingdom. It's the church, which God built. That is the true kingdom that those that are saved are in on this earth. Well, the gospel is described as the power of God for salvation. You know what that verse says. We've talked about it many times. So, how is it the power of God for salvation? The good news of Christ is that Christ came and died and shed his blood for us. That's the good news. And because he shed his blood, if we'll come to him in faith, confess him, repent of our sins, and be baptized, the power of Christ's blood can save us from our sins when we by faith come and obey God's will. People need to hear that news so they can know that it's not just something that you can pray through and receive. It's not something that you can say, I believe, but it's something that we hear and we understand it and receive it by faith to the point of obedience. The power of God into salvation. We can't save ourselves, but the blood of Christ saves us. And when we receive that power of God through obedience, we are saved by the blood of Christ. Well, the gospel is important. It's going to be taught next week, the Lord's willing, if Bill's able to be here. And it should be taught. Mark 16 and verse 15, Jesus said, go ye into all the world, talking to his apostles. Go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel needs to be taught. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them, notice that, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you to do. The gospel should be taught. 2 Timothy 2 and 2, faithful men should teach other men who in turn should be able to teach others also. Next week is a good opportunity for others to be taught. We need to do it individually, but we also need to invite others to hear it as it's preached in a gospel meeting. Well, the gospel is essential because believing it is necessary for salvation. Mark 1 and verse 15, believing the gospel. Mark 16, 15 and 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that what? Believe. Doesn't do any good if someone doesn't believe. How is anyone going to believe if they do not hear? How are they going to hear unless someone preaches to them? Men are sent. Where to go? Where to teach others? As individuals and the setting we have coming up next week, the Lord's willing. Believing is essential. You can't believe without hearing the word, Romans 10:17. And so the gospel is to be taught. He that believeth what? Go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news of Christ, the good news of salvation, the plan of salvation, what it must entail for someone to be saved that God requires and what we must do. That's what we must believe. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came and died and rose again the third day. All that involves our belief in God and Christ and the Word. The gospel is important. Let's make the gospel meeting next week a success. The Word will be a success in itself when it's sown in the good and honest heart, into your heart, my heart, and others' hearts. But getting people there to hear it also helps make it a success. The gospel should be received, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. Think about the congregations and the individuals that Paul wrote to and stressed the importance of receiving the gospel. And those who had received the gospel, the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So hearing it's important, believing it's important, and receiving it is important, and obeying it is important. How should one obey if they don't know what to obey? How can one obey correctly if they don't understand how to obey? The gospel meeting is important. Bible classes are important. Teaching and preaching is important. Next week is an opportunity for someone to obey the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8 talks about the fact that Christ is going to come. He's going to judge everyone. He's going to take vengeance on those who know not God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Thessalonians 1:8. So the meeting is important. We have about 7 days, the Lord's willing, if we live, and he lets time go on to prepare for that meeting. What am I going to do? To prepare myself, and hopefully invite others to be prepared for it also. The gospel, it needs to be defended. Philippians chapter 1, verses 16 and 7. The defense of the gospel. Paul stood and preached and he defended the gospel. The gospel needs to be defended because there's error being taught throughout the world. Has always been taught. So the gospel has always needed to be defended. That's another thing Brother Bill Hall will do next week in his lessons. Some way, somehow, in these lessons next week, he will defend the gospel against error, against denominationalism, against the factions of men, against the teachings of men, the doctrines of men. He will defend the truth and explain why it's right to obey the gospel, which comes from God, because it is the truth and it is the gospel. It is not some gospel or one of many. It is not a truth or some truth or part of a truth, but it is the truth. Well, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the one true gospel. No, not another. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 7. Paul was amazed that the Galatian brethren were so soon removed from the gospel which he had preached to them, which is not another gospel, he said, but there are those who would pervert the gospel of Christ. And if any man preach any other gospel which I preached unto you, let him be accursed. The gospel, there's not another, only the gospel of Christ. The gospel contains facts to believe, commands to obey, and promises to be received. You that are here this morning that's been baptized into Christ, you've received that promise that God gave for the forgiveness of your sins. Those that are here this morning that may have had sin in their life after being baptized and have repented and prayed to God and received forgiveness in a public or private matter, whichever, you have received the promises because you've obeyed and because you believe and you've done what God asked you to do. Promises to be received is that when we come and obey the gospel from the heart, the first principles, our sins are washed away. Promises to be believed is that as a Christian, walking and following God and doing His will, if we work and grow in grace and knowledge and grow and serve God and strive to be faithful as the best we can, and if we make a mistake, we repent of it, return from it, and endeavor not to do it anymore, and go to God in prayer, and He'll forgive us. Promises to be received. You can't have forgiveness of your sins if you're a Christian and you haven't lived right then until you go to God in prayer. The good news of the gospel is that we have an advocate with the Father to get forgiveness of sins. And He'll hear our prayer. Well, the gospel then is important. So I need to do my part. Number one, in believing it, in obeying it, and sharing it with others. Is that something you can do? I know you will, because you're a faithful Christian. Let's consider the importance of the gospel, who we are, what we have, the blessings we have, and let's make an effort to invite others to the gospel meeting. If you're here this morning and you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ in baptism, if you're here this morning and you are a child of God and you need the prayers of the brethren, in either case, if we can help you, please come while we stand and while Debbie A. leads us in the invitation.